Welcome to the Midday for a Thursday. I'm Norman Gilliland, this time with an hour of Americana. I don't know any other name that will sort of cover everything that you're likely to hear during this hour. With members of the original Hyperion Oriental Foxtrot Orchestra, an outfit that's been around for a long time, but I guess you could say went undercover for many years. And so the members that we have with us here in our studio today are vocalist Jackie Colbert, and we have Carlos Moser with the piano and providing some vocals, and also one of the co-founders of the outfit, Diane Mackey, violin, and Rebecca Mackey, violin, and Rick Mackey, no relation, I'm sure, is also here because you're the other co-founder, right?
Yes.
I've got to say this again, original Hyperion Oriental Foxtrot Orchestra. And does it go back to 1974? That's the actual beginning, isn't it?
That was the beginning. 1974, we organized this orchestra along lines of a prototype in New Orleans called the New Leviathan Oriental Foxtrot Orchestra, which was the first Oriental Foxtrot Orchestra in the world. This is true.
And it's still extant.
This is
I
the
just
second.
Saw it online.
And there are only two.
Is that one still around?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Plays every year at the Jazz and Heritage Festival down there.
So just the two of you. And so what we're going to be hearing, by the way, before I forget, during this hour, we're going to be hearing a combination of live and the orchestra as it sounded in this very studio 40 years ago, very close to its inception.
Yes, in 1974, we had the orchestra in the studio set up. We did a live broadcast, which was fortunately recorded. That's what you'll hear.
During a pledge drive,
rumor
has
it. It was a fundraiser.
Those were the days.
For the radio station. And it's a whopping good recording. So glad that it was located and resurfaced.
Well, yeah, and I gather that sort of lay in obscurity for many years, that recording.
Yes, the recording recently came to light through Rick. And I do want to mention that this was completely new to me 40 years ago, but Rick brought this treasure trove, and I, as opera director and classical musician, was fascinated by it, but utterly frightened. And when he assured me all I had to do was to play the notes that were written, I loosened up and started loving it.
I was going to say, though, yes, when you say all you have to do is play the notes that are written, you do have to loosen up.
Yeah, definitely.
You need both of those. And so that was a little bit of a leap for you, Carlos, going from directing opera.
Very much so.
To Americana, ragtime to a great extent, early jazz,
real
mix of stuff.
It's pre-jazz, really. Mm-hmm. I was not prepared to do the improvising necessary for jazz. I felt I loved it and was quite overwhelmed by it, but this was a little gentle road into it. And so the rags were particularly useful to me, and around the time of the rags.
Interesting confluence of musical styles that seem to have created ragtime. I mean, you have the German band, the kind of the oompa tradition, but then you also have the Sousa sound, and you also have, of course, Black America as part of that stream, too.
It is the first syncopated music in popular music, and it took America by storm. It was a phenomenon in its day, and it did open the door for the popularity of jazz later. Also, syncopated music. The rhythm is the thing. It's the syncopation that really distinguishes it from, well, another piece you'll hear today is, in fact, the first piece I think you're going to hear today has a very different kind of rhythm, but it was the syncopation of ragtime that sort of set the world on fire in 1905.
And every now and then the fire kind of returns, doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean, a big revival in the
70s. 40 years later, here we are.
Yeah, and then 40 years later, here we are again. What about Panama?
Well, Panama is by Tyers, and it does tap into the Caribbean rhythms. This slight syncopation, later called a Spanish tinge by Jelly Roll
Morton. Habanera rhythm.
But which one?
Habanera.
Yes, yes, that kind of habanera rhythm.
Sure.
And so it's close enough to us to have William Tyers write this wonderful piece.
He was West Indian.
Was he?
Well, this could add a little whole new interpretative angle for you, Carlos. Here we go. Panama. Thank you. Panama, played live in our studio today by members of the original Hyperion Oriental Foxtrot Orchestra organization, founded back in 1974, with a concert coming up, though, a reunion concert, Rick Mackey, you tell me.
Yes, this is a big thing for us because we've been in mothballs for a few years, as you pointed out, we're below the radar. And so it's a reunion, including some of the so-called legacy artists, some musicians who played in the original performances of the orchestra as far back as 1974. Some of the violins, Wendy Buell, Leila Sanya, Karen Smith, Mike Lecrone will be with us.
Well, he was on our show not too many weeks ago.
Mike gets around.
So he's a mean trumpet player then, huh?
Well, he sure is.
He's a trumpet player, but I mean, he's
yes, he's dusted off his chops, so to speak, as I have on the drums. It's Monday, May 19th. It's this Monday at 7:30 in Mills Auditorium in the Humanities Building, and I hope throngs of people will just be teeming in the streets to come to hear this. It's going to be very, very exciting.
A lot of toe tapping.
A lot of toe tapping
for that, right?
Everybody's going to be wanting to dance, and they can't in Mills, but they will bubble over.
Well, I was going to say, the last time I saw the orchestra, oh my gosh, I shouldn't really say, but it was 3 decades ago, I believe,
right.
You played at what was then the Overture, I mean, the precursor, the Civic Center.
Oh, yes.
I believe it was after like a Kiri Takanawa concert or something like that. It was an unlikely combination, but boy, people really got into the tangos and foxtrots for that occasion.
We're very danceable. We're also concert, so the balance has been wonderful throughout the years, and we're starting back at least with the concert.
All right, let's go back 40 years now to this very studio when the orchestra played My Maryland. In case you had forgotten that the state song for Maryland is the same tune as O Tannenbaum, that was My Maryland, and an arrangement that goes back to 1906. It was the original Hyperion Oriental Foxtrot Orchestra playing in this studio back in 1974. We'll talk about arrangements, which are fascinating in this context, right after this here on WPR. Back now with members of the original Hyperion Oriental Foxtrot Orchestra, And it was, we were listening to My Maryland just a second ago, Rick Mackey. We were, at least I was struck with, what is this? It sounds a little like Stars and Stripes coming in a moment, you know. You're expecting the piccolo solo to really take over for a second there. So what about these arrangements that you have?
Well, these are all the original published arrangements of these pieces. And they're sourced from Tulane University back in the early 70s when we were creating that revival orchestra, the Leviathan Oriental Foxtrot. And the John Robichaud collection is at the Jazz Archive at Tulane University. It's a spectacular collection. John Robichaud was a Creole of color, a band leader who had an orchestra of schooled African-American musicians who read their music. And they're very proud of this because they could be in any dance situation and someone could request a tune. Robichaud would go into this big trunk of music. He always managed to pull it out. There are over 5,000 arrangements in that collection. It
big
is,
trunk.
As Carlos has said, it's a treasure trove.
And notice also the French influence from New Orleans. Robichaud and later Jelly Roll Morton, who thought of himself as French, and Armand Piron, so that there's that side of it too, surprisingly.
That's true. Joplin contemporary Louis Chauvin, I presume, would
be
another one of those.
Yes, indeed.
And speaking of Joplin, you have a pineapple for us here.
Yes, we do. And what I like about pineapples is that it shows the early, his early style, which, as Rick said, took the world by storm. This syncopation, which he handled so well, very pianistic, but also it lent itself to all sorts of arrangements. So this is an early rag of Joplin's. Thank you.
There's your Pineapple Rag by Scott Joplin, and Joplin was very specific, wasn't he, about his rags being played not too fast, as
and
they later
don't
would be.
Fake.
Don't fake. Now, what does that mean, Carlos?
Exactly what it says. Many of the rags have at the top, don't fake. So it is far from jazz. It is, he wants exactly what is written.
Oh, what is written? Well, yes, he was classically trained.
Very much so.
And took those notes seriously. And, of course, some classical, well-known classical pianists were part of that revival in the 70s. Joshua Rifkin, for one, went on to become a very serious Bach scholar. And Dick Hyman recorded, I think, all of them on 10 sides for Angel, I think, back in the day. And he actually is going to be in Madison in a couple of weeks playing some jazz, I think, early jazz. Well, let's squeak in one more before the quiz question from that 1974 recording. And in this case, it's going to be High Society. That's the work of Porter Steele from 1901. There you have High Society by Porter Steele from 40 years ago, the original Hyperion Oriental Foxtrot Orchestra. And now back with members of the original Hyperion Oriental Foxtrot Orchestra here in our studio performing live, and then we're also hearing from their 1974 CD that was recorded right here also back those 40 years ago. And with me today so far have been Carlos Moser and Diane Mackey and Rebecca Mackey, piano, violin, and violin, respectively. And Rick Mackey, who's one of the co-founders with Carlos, has also been filling us in. And now we're going to bring up another member of the group here, Jackie Colbert. And what is the name of this piece? It sounds familiar.
Beale Street Papa. Beale Street in Memphis. And from Turk and Robinson, we do... Thank you.
Some of those songs that Bessie Smith sang back in the 30s had a little subtext, didn't they? She's not just talking about...
More reference to cookies and jelly roll than yes, they are really pastries.
Yes, there's that song Kitchen Man, I seem to recall, that gets into some of that too. Let's see, her sister Trixie, I think, also was a singer of the day. So they sing with... Who is it with... was it with Bix Beiderbecke, maybe? I can't remember. But they were prominent and very original.
Yes.
That was Jackie Colbert doing the vocals there. And now should we go back to 1974 again? Or, Rick, did you... No, you're poised. I do have a question for you after this, though. This is Kiss Me Sweet. Kiss Me Sweet, and you kind of wish you had been there back in the day when those kick lines must have kicked in for some of that music, that early Americana. And would this be part of that New Orleans sound, Rick Mackey, or is this something else?
This really is. This mm-hmm. is very early New Orleans music. New Orleans music is not all Dixieland jazz. In fact, the best of it isn't Dixieland jazz. This Kiss Me Sweet was written by Armand Piron, who was a violinist,
again,
another
French.
Creole orchestra mm-hmm. leader in New Orleans. And he wrote other tunes that are very well known, like I Wish I Could Shimmy Like My Sister Kate, which Jackie's going to do Monday.
On Monday.
It's going to be great.
Yes.
Yeah.
You mean the singing or the shimmying?
Shimmying both.
Both, okay, both.
You won't see it on radio.
I'd have to do play-by-play. You seem to know something about New Orleans, Rick.
Well, I'm a native of New Orleans, and I grew up in a family of musicians with roots in the jazz era. My father and my uncle played jazz in New Orleans from the teens through the 20s. My father was a band leader until the Second World War.
You know, my experience with New Orleans is fairly limited, but the last time I was down there, which was, I want to say about 2006, something like that, it was surprisingly hard to find New Orleans music. Maybe they were playing for the spring break crowd or something, but it was not what I was expecting or looking for.
Well, you know, New Orleans has changed in 100 years.
That's right, Norman. I remember back when I was there in 1906, you know, the music was so much more genteel.
There's a lot of commercial music in New Orleans these days, and it's commercial musicians play what tourists want to hear.
And now we're back with members of the original Hyperion Oriental Foxtrot Orchestra. They have a performance, a reunion concert coming up Monday night in Mills at the UW-Madison School of Music. And let's see, that is at what time?
At 7:30.
7:30, and tickets are available at the door, by the way. Now to that work of Scott Joplin's that's, you know, I don't know where he came up with the titles, but they're great titles.
Yes,
and,
they are.
And I gather they were always keyed to the, or at least the image on the sheet music was always keyed to the title. So what would be the image for the magnetic rag, Carlos?
I don't know what attracted him,
so to speak.
I can put it that way. but I think by this stage in his life, it was near the end of his life. It's one of his very last rags. His aspirations, I think, toward more serious. He actually has Italian directions at the front, Allegro ma non troppo, instead of don't fake and things like that. He writes them in eighth notes instead of the sixteenths. He has longer, four different strains, and then the first one repeated. It's one of his longest rags. So I think he was fairly ambitious and wanting to write something very far from the early rags which you heard. It still has a syncopation. It's still Joplin, understandable. But it's a wonderful example of his development, I would say. This is the period where he was also writing Trimonisha, the opera.
Sure.
So I think it meant a lot to him, whatever the magnetic meant. It certainly is attractive to us.
Magnetic rag. Thank you. Magnetic Rag, and that's one of the pieces in the famed Redback book, I believe, right? That has the nice kind of instrumentation added to the piano.
Yes, indeed.
Well, can we go to another live one from you, Carlos?
Well, you
seem to be primed. Can we do something with a jelly roll in it?
Surely, since we mentioned sweets earlier. And this is by the brothers, weren't they, Spencer and Clarence Williams?
Actually, they were not brothers.
Oh.
They were not brothers.
No relation.
Clarence and Spencer Williams were partners, and they wrote music together.
It was just one of those coincidences. Yeah. Right.
Yes. It's a factoid for you.
That's right. They must have had to explain that how many times? Not related.
Over and over
In
again.
Any case, it's one of the joys we have in the concert coming up, because both Jackie and I will sing solos, and the band will do. Also left out of our discussion today was a lot of Jelly Roll Morton, who is very important to our whole approach.
Great stuff.
And we will have five numbers, I think, by Jelly Roll Morton. This Jelly Roll is not Morton, but it's about a mean little boy. Little Willie Green was really mean and very stingy too. He always wanted some of what you had, but he gave nothing to you. One day his ma bought him a jelly roll. To hide it he would try. And when the kids would ask him for a bite, you'd hear Willie cry, "I ain't gonna give nobody none of this jelly roll. I wouldn't give you a piece of cake to save my soul. Mama told me today, when she went away, to be a good boy, she bring me a toy. I am her pride and joy. There ain't no use of you to keep on hanging round. I love you, but I hate to turn you down. This jelly roll is sweet. It's surely hard to beat. I know you want it, you can have it, and I ain't gonna give you none. Cake is fine, but it don't compare to mine. I know you want it, you can have it, and I ain't gonna give you none.
All right, well, speaking of Jelly Rolls and Jelly Roll Morton, there is one, what would you say, a showstopper that you tend to use as a finale, right?
Yes, Hyena Stomp is the signature of the orchestra. We always ended our performances with it, and it always left people cheering for more.
And laughing.
And laughing. Hyena Stomp, another apt title, as you'll see.
All right, so back we go to 1974 with Hyena Stomp. Jelly Roll Morton.
Thank you.
know, there is a, not a tradition necessarily, but it's been done before. There is a, say, what, a laughing rag or something that's, that somebody wrote in the 20s. So that insert has its place.
That's good.
Now, I have to add, that was the Hyena Stomp from 1927, and again, performed here 40 years ago in this very room at Wisconsin Public Radio. The original Hyperion Oriental Foxtrot Orchestra, except no substitutes. But what is, Rick, what is an Oriental Foxtrot as opposed to an Occidental Foxtrot?
Well, the Foxtrot, of course, was a dance. And the Oriental Foxtrot was an invention of Tin Pan Alley as ragtime waned, and Carlos played magnetic rag, a very sad-sounding, melancholy rag. Well, that was really the farewell to the ragtime era. In fact, Joplin had to publish that himself. He couldn't find a publisher for it.
And
it
so really something had to take the place of ragtime.
Something had to take
right
the place.
Of
Tin Pan Alley was
yeah.
always looking for something to sell, and there was a fascination with things oriental at the time. And so,
I think also the discovery of King Tut's tomb,
well,
actually.
That came in the 20s, but even by the late teens, right on the heels of ragtime, there was this ascendancy of pieces like Arabiana or Mid the Pyramids with Omar Khayyam in China, just one tune after another.
Yeah, Egyptianella, I think, is in
so
there
it's kind of it's a Tin Pan Alley subgenre. And the Oriental Foxtrot became irrelevant as jazz came roaring onto the scene and soon captured the imagination of the American
and
public.
Actually, in our concert, we will pay tribute to the title by doing one Oriental Foxtrot, but yeah. There's so much other good music that we
right.
Now, does this at all impinge upon your operatic activities, Carlos?
Well, I've loved opera all my life since college, actually, and when I got a chance to go to the Metropolitan Opera, I was going to Princeton University, and they gave us free tickets to go to the Met. So it really inspired me, and that inspired Melinda and me to set up this Moser Ticket Fund for operas through the UW Foundation. And I make no apologies for loving both opera and all of this music, and I hope lovers of both genres come to the concert on Monday. If you don't know this kind of music and love opera, come and expand and support our ticket fund.
You really do have to play this someplace soon where people can dance to it, though.
I should like to.
There's nothing like the feel of the rose thorn in between your teeth, you know, when a tango comes up. Well, thanks for joining us for the midday today. It's been a real treat to have you with
us. Thank you.
Members of the original Hyperion Oriental Foxtrot Orchestra, not all of them original members, I hasten to add. At least one of them was not even born when this outfit was first thought up. But with me today, Carlos Moser and Rick Mackey. Rick has a day job also with the Madison Symphony. Last I heard, still employed there, still have the day job.
Still there.
Executive director.
Executive director.
Okay, congratulations on that. And Diane Mackey and Rebecca Mackey providing our violins. Thanks to have nice to. Oh, thank you. Yes, how could I forget Jackie Colbert, who provided our vocal.